Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
2 days ago, I was contacted by four close friends, all independently. And in each case, they asked if I would pray with them and in some cases chat with them because they were going through some very difficult battles. One of them was from Southeast Asia, another from California, a third one from was here locally, and a fourth one was out of the country. And each one of them, to some degree or another, were detailing the fact that some very disturbing events were occurring within the context of their family, that there was, if you will, some relational turmoil that was taking place, and it felt out of the ordinary. And they asked if we could chat and if I would pray. What was amazing about that is it would be four people all in one morning, a phone call, a text message, two emails. Now, I get a lot of emails from people who are going through difficult times and asking me for prayer. But in this case, there was something unique about it because all four were friends, close friends, and all of them contacted me saying that it feels as though they're under attack. You know, there's a passage of scripture that has given me comfort, but there is also a sense of warning in the passage. It comes from Isaiah chapter 43. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Now, there's a lot of great stuff here. I have summoned you by name. I am your God. You belong to me. But it's hard to avoid the fact that it says there will be high water. There will be floods that try to sweep over you. There will be times when it feels like there is fire that is blazing all around you. Now, the promise is that it will not overtake us. But equal to the promise that it will not overtake us is the realization that, well, tough times do come. We do have an enemy. We do live in a world where events happen that bring great trials and sometimes very difficult moments in life. And this is part of the reason the scripture says He is our Savior. If there were never fires and there were never floods, if there were never battles and disturbances, if there was never attack from the evil one, then why would we need a Savior? But Jesus is our Savior, even in the midst of these difficult times. I was thinking recently about Isaiah 54, verse 17, the no weapon formed against you will prosper passage. Again, a great word. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Hope, the belief in God, the fact that He's there for us, that He is going to sustain us. This is all very, very good. But it does say there, if you look closely, weapons will be formed against us. It's the nature of battle. It's part of what we talked about a few podcasts ago. And if you remember, I said that sooner or later we would have a chat about Paul and the armor of God. And so today is that day. Let's talk about that. I think we're all well aware that there is an enemy to that which God is seeking to do in our lives, that for many generations He ruled and reigned over this earth, and then Jesus came. He brought with Him the kingdom of God, and all that come under the kingdom of God now belong to Him. We get to live by the virtues and values of the kingdom. This is great news, but we also know that we're still here. We are a colony of heaven that are still living on earth, and therefore the world, the flesh, and the devil does play against the virtues and values of the kingdom, trying to discourage us, trying, if you will, in every way to pull us off. I think this is one of the reasons that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And then it says this, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. What a word, schemes. His plans, his efforts to bring destruction and despair into our lives. You know, the evil one is always trying to deceive us, to dupe us, to hoodwink us, if you will. And when he does, we often pay the price. There's something that happens when the devil comes and he dupes us. In the end, we feel not only the loss of what it is he's taken, but the shame of having allowed him to do that. And what Paul says is that these schemes are rather intricate and they're not easily discernible. Because Paul says in verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood, you could see it, you could name it. But our struggle is against rulers and authorities, against the powers of a dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. That's a power-packed passage of Scripture. That when things are difficult, and when that oppression sets in, and when we are facing trials, we need to recognize there is an evil one. He does not play fair. He operates by schemes to try to con us, to hoodwink us, to dupe us. And that struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not about the people that may be used. But he says there is a hierarchy of evil, rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, spiritual forces in heavenly realms. Paul is saying this to let us know that, in fact, there is a battle. You will remember I mentioned that at the end of 1 Corinthians, he talks about that where God is doing great work, there the enemy rises up through those that oppose us. And so it becomes important that our eyes are open. And then Paul goes on and he says, make sure you put on the full armor of God. Now, many of us as Christians, we've heard about the armor of God, and it's a good thing. It's a metaphorical description of truths and empowerment that God has for Christians in order that we can be strong in the Lord and stand against the schemes of the evil one that come at us through these rulers, these principalities, these dark powers. This is a very, very important point for us as we begin to move forward, that we understand that to stand in the evil day, we've got to understand the place of the armor of God. Now, a number of years ago, someone commented, and I thought it was great advice, that just like every day you get up and you brush your teeth and you wash your face, that every day we should put on the armor of God. Just like we're putting on our pants and our shirt or our dress and our blouse and our shoes, that we ought to put on the armor of God. And that's a good practice. You've got to, of course, know what the armor of God is. But more importantly, you've got to know what the armor of God stands for. What does it mean, for example, when it says, put on the belt of truth, buckled around your waist, the belt of truth. Well, I think this is a powerful reminder that we can't let desolation and the thoughts of evil take over our thinking, but instead continually run to the light, the truth of God's word. And what is it God said about us, about himself? Because this is what's powerful about Isaiah 43. He says, I am your God. I have formed you. I will be with you in storms. I will not let floodwaters and fire overtake you because I am your Savior. That's the truth. And sometimes in my own life, when the difficulties come, I spend more time looking at the size of the opposition than the omnipotence of God, who is greater still. And how God is promising that he is not distant from us in struggles. Remember, Jesus stands when we're struggling. And that's part of what the truth is about. Knowing the truths of Scripture that can be applied in these moments, that we are God's children, that we will be held firm till the end. We will be found blameless on that day. That's all in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That God will never leave us or forsake us. And that when all of these other thoughts of disaster and opposition and our inability to endure come into our minds, may we go back to the truth of God's word and that it protects us. So it's not enough to say today I put on the garment of truth, the belt of truth, but I got to know what that means. It means that I will run to the light of what God has stated and I will hold firm to that. Oh, it goes on in the scriptures, doesn't it? It says that we should put on the breastplate of Christ's righteousness. Wow, that's a powerful truth and a powerful recognition for those of us that are Christians when things are difficult. We stand in the righteousness of Christ. All the promises of God are yes in Jesus. That He is our shield. That we are at peace with God. That the righteousness of Christ has now been given to us through faith. And that we're okay with God. There is no war there. It then talks about shodding our feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, the good news that we can move forward. Isn't it a wonderful thought? Not a thought, a truth, that because of Christ, we're at peace with God. Even in our brokenness, even in our wandering, we have now been drawn near. This is what Ephesians chapter 2 is about when it says, once you were apart, once you didn't participate in the covenant of God, once you were not part of the promises of God, but now through Christ, we have been drawn near. What a wonderful and powerful truth. And so we just begin there every single day. Okay, Lord, I want to gird my loins with truth to remember what you have said about who I am. I want to put on the breastplate of Christ's righteousness that reminds me that all that was true of Christ, as Andrew Purvis said, by nature as God's Son, is now true of us through faith. Do you hear that? All that was true of Christ by nature as God's Son is now true of us by faith. Wow. That can help us to stand when the evil one is yelling his threats and trying to make life around us very, very difficult. It also goes on in this passage of Scripture as it talks about the armor of God that we lift up the shield of faith. The shield of faith. You know, the one thing I know is that God is willing to answer the prayer, oh God, increase my faith. I think faith to some degree is not simply willing belief, but a trust that I can jump into what God is doing. I've told you before that I love that whole concept of emunah, that the Old Testament faith is that God is on the move. He's like a mighty river, and all that I have to do is jump in. All I got to do is jump into what God is about and to say I want everything that God's about, even in this trial, even in this difficulty, and all of a sudden faith arises. And it protects us. Because when the enemy says, I'm going to bring you down, or this is going to destroy you, or life will never be the same after this, we're able to look for where God is at movement, and we jump in. The Bible then goes on, and it talks about putting on the helmet of salvation. Now, to one degree, I guess the image of a helmet of salvation means it's something that is protecting our thoughts. So that's a good thing. Take every thought captive. But I once heard that the helmet of salvation also represents the fact that many soldiers would wear on their helmet the symbols of victories in previous battles. So maybe one of the things that we're supposed to do is to take a moment to remember all the times in the past where God saw us through, where He met us in the flood and the fire, and we can say, as tough as it was, it didn't scorch us, and that, yes, there were weapons formed against us, but we can look back and say, but ultimately, they did not bring us harm. It may have hurt, but it did not bring us harm, because God has been with us. And then, of course, it says about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There's a lot of ways to look at this, but one of the ways that I like to look at it is that Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would bring back to our mind the things that he's taught and the things that he has said. And that when we're in these difficult times, we can say, Holy Spirit, bring it back. Remind me what Jesus said. Remind me what is true, that I might hold fast to that in this moment to carry me through when things are difficult. That's the armor of God. The armor of God is not simply saying, I put on a belt and a breastplate and a shield, but it's knowing deeply what these stand for. What do they mean? How do we actually integrate this into our lives? The truth of God's word, the righteousness of Jesus Christ that says that we are now his children, the gospel of peace that keeps us moving forward because we are at peace with God. That great shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the Spirit wielding the sword of God's word, reminding us of what God has already stated. I guess when I became a Christian years ago, I kind of wished that that meant that, well, I'm untouchable now. God's on my side. Nothing bad's ever going to happen to me. It's all going to just flow perfectly. It hasn't turned out that way at all, and the Bible never gives us that impression. I mean, after all, disciples who followed Christ and loved him end up facing great opposition, even to the point of death. But what Jesus did promise us is that he sits on the throne. He stands when we're under opposition, and that he has not left us without an armor to face the schemes, let's keep aware of that word, the schemes of the evil one, so that we will stand strong in that day. I need to be reminded of these things. By the way, Ephesians 6 goes on and it talks about the fact that we ought to learn to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit take over your prayer. Holy Spirit, I want to pray right now. Take over my prayer in this moment. Because when I pray in the Spirit, all kinds of different prayers, these are weapons against the efforts of the evil one, this evil one that is not flesh and blood, but who was defeated on the cross of Jesus Christ. This is very, very important for us. And I think it's something that, well, I need reminded of. Maybe we all need to be reminded of. That God never said it would be easy, but in the midst of us, he promised us, when there is flood, when there is fire, I'll be there. I am your Savior. No weapon formed will prosper. Now, put on that armor of God. I pray that you know today that God's face is shining on you. He does love you, absolutely nuts about you. You are your Father's child. As always, I remind you that you can find out about where we're going to be speaking and other resources on our website. And may God meet you today in a special way. God bless.